Good morning. May it please the court, I'm Stephanie Cunningham on behalf of Mr. Martin. I'm going to start by, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, please. Start with the comparability issue. The state has the burden of establishing that out-of-state convictions are comparable to Washington state convictions before the court can count those convictions in the offender score. In this case, the state didn't meet its burden of establishing that Mr. Martin's burglary 2 conviction from California was comparable to a burglary 2 conviction in Washington.
Is the appellant's position that the sentencing judge can't make a reasonable inference from the charging documents or the plea as to whether or not it was a building or a closed container?
In this case, they presented only the charging document that listed an address. And the trial court can make certain limited assumptions based on the evidence presented at the sentencing hearing. But in this case, the judge went and made factual findings based only on the charging document. There was no declaration of probable cause. In this case, it was a plea hearing, a guilty plea. And so there was no evidence of what Mr. Martin actually pleaded guilty to, what facts he agreed to in his plea, whether he agreed that he unlawfully entered a building. All the court did was take this, the fact that it was a parcel of land with an address associated with it, and made the leap that this must be a building. And unfortunately, in California, there are a number of things listed in the Burglary 2 statute that you can enter that are not considered buildings in Washington, like an outhouse, an airplane, an underground mine. These are things that you can enter, but that are not buildings in Washington. So the court took this address and assumed that there must have been a building on it, and Mr. Martin must have entered it.
So in the U.S. Supreme Court in Alene reemphasized that the prior conviction piece is not subject to the Apprendi-Alene analysis. How does that fit into our analysis here in terms of what facts a court can consider?
Well, the court can consider any facts that are proven, that have been stipulated to, or admitted. And in this case, no facts were admitted or stipulated to or proven. All you had was an allegation. And we all know that whatever is, actually not even the allegation, just the elements of the crime that he was charged with. There were no facts submitted to the trial court of what facts supported that allegation.
So it would be unreasonable for a trial court to draw an inference from the guilty plea and the facts in the charging document?
In this particular case, because the elements are different and the California statute is broader, it would be inappropriate to assume that the underlying facts of the conviction when all you have is a charging document, and when the charging document, the elements in the charging document aren't clear. If the charging document had said that he unlawfully entered a building located at 800 Callahan Lane, Admiral Callahan Lane, that would have been better, but even then, you still...
What if it had said a structure? Could the judge infer that it was a building?
I think what's weird about this case is that the California burglary statute, all the things that are listed are not necessarily structures. I mean, an underground mine is not what we commonly consider to be a structure. And so what you have...
Are there any inferences that the judge can draw from the facts pled, or is it just... Either it's stated objectively in the charging document or it's off the table.
Well, when you have a comparable, when it's legally comparable and all you have is the charging document.
Okay, you're not answering my question.
Right. Well,
I'd like you to answer my question, which is, can you draw any factual inferences in doing the factual comparison from the facts stated in the charging document? Or does it have to be expressly stated in the charging document or off the table?
Well, there are no facts stated in the charging document. There's an allegation stated in the charging document, and there's no evidence.
That may be, but what's the answer to my question?
Well, the answer is no. You cannot assume facts based on what is listed in the charging document. If you want to use this out-of-state conviction that has different legal elements and that is quite a bit broader than the Washington statute, the state needs to meet its burden, the state needs to show some sort of factual, what the underlying facts are that Mr. Martin or defendant admitted to, pleaded to, stipulated to.
So if we were to agree with you and remand this, would the state be able to present the defendant's statement on plea of guilty?
Well, you know, in this case, he objected to it being, you know, I'm going to, are they going to be able to present new evidence? Yeah, it's been a while since I've looked at that. I think because they objected to it below and the state had the opportunity to supplement the record, not supplement the record, then they're going to be bound to the record that they submitted below.
What about the other priors that the trial court rejected? Would the state get another shot of saying, well, Your Honor, upon further research, that prior you excluded here should have been included?
Well, he objected to those as well, and the state didn't bring in any new evidence or any additional documents for those as well, and the state didn't appeal the trial court's finding on those. And in this case, with the 1993 burglary, the state conceded that it wasn't legally comparable. So it's really over whether or not it was factually comparable. And because the state presented no facts, you can't assume.
Well, what Judge Trickey is wondering is if this goes back, if the judge could reconsider the other three he didn't include in scoring, and your client might actually be worse off.
Well, again, no. He objected to the inclusion of those at the time, and the trial court agreed with Mr. Martin and did not include them. The state didn't take that opportunity to bring any additional facts or any additional court documents to establish comparability. So they are, again, limited to the record at the time.
Is there a law of the case doctrine that would apply that binds the trial court to its earlier decision, or does it have the ability to reconsider?
With the sentencing, I think that's a little more complicated, whether it's law of the case.
Well, we might be doing harm here if we agreed with you. That's what we're exploring. Harm to your client's position.
Okay. Well, the state didn't appeal those, and they didn't present any additional evidence when they had the opportunity to do it. So I believe the trial court is bound by its prior holding. I don't think the state can reopen those issues when they had the opportunity to bring more facts at that time, and they didn't. And I guess that is an issue as you know, it was not in the briefing, and I'd be happy to do additional briefing or to do supplemental authorities on that issue.
Why don't we find out what the state thinks first?
Sure.
May it please the court, my name is Tom Roberts. I represent the state in this matter.
So do you want to deal with that question right off the top? If we were to agree with counsel that this burglary is not comparable, would the trial court be able to reconsider the three priors it didn't include when it scored?
Including the assault that it decided was not comparable? I don't believe so. I think it is law of the case. I think it's closed because the state didn't appeal it. The factor for Mr. Martin was the assault, I think it was in California, a similar assault to this one, where he violently assaulted his girlfriend or companion, whatever it was, and that was decided whether this was going to make him eligible for the
cut to the chase.
The POAA.
If we accept Mr. Martin's argument on the burglary, we re-ran for resentencing with the burglary excluded from the offender score and no new offenses included.
I'm sorry. If the burglary.
If we accept Mr. Martin's argument and rule that the trial court cannot include that burglary in calculating his offender score, the trial court would recalculate his offender score simply with that offense omitted and nothing else added.
That's right. It would go, as Ms. Cunningham points out in her brief, his score would go from a 6 to a 5. Now, regarding one of the other questions that was asked of Ms. Cunningham was whether the state could present additional evidence regarding the burglary. The state can't present additional evidence, but the state, if there are other documents, if there is from 1981, if there is a declaration of probable cause that that further fleshed out the facts in this case, the state could present that because If it's remanded, then the state can present additional evidence regarding the burglary. I doubt there is any because it's from 1981, and viewing the it must have been produced from microfilm, the records in this case from 1981, it didn't look like there was anything.
Well, the state could go and look and see in some sort of assessor's records what existed on that at that address on that date.
It's possible, yes. It's possible if those records, certainly, if those records could be located also. I think the court drew a logical conclusion from the facts that were what was pleaded and proven, because it was a plea, he agreed to it, and that was that he unlawfully and willfully entered the address with the intent to commit a theft. And the judge drew a logical conclusion from the word entered that it was not just a piece of property, an empty piece of property, but that it was a structure or a building or something that where something could be stolen from.
So you disagree with counsel about the trial court's ability to draw inferences from the stated facts?
I think the trial court can draw logical, reasonable inferences. It has to come from the documents that are provided, the proof, the evidence here, which is the documents which supported the prior conviction, which included the allegations, which included the charging document, which in this case was pretty specific about him unlawfully and willfully entering a certain property with the intent to commit theft. That's a Berg II in the state of Washington.
What is your opinion of the view of the law after Apprendi and Lien when we're talking about factual comparability? What can the sentencing judge do that doesn't go to the jury?
I'm sorry, what can a sentencing judge do that?
I mean, can a sentencing judge make a factual finding in this context? Or is that what the sentencing judge did here? Is a reasonable inference necessarily a factual finding, or is it just some kind of conclusion of law?
Well, I think what the sentencing judge here did was draw a finding of what the defendant had admitted to in 1981 in his prior burglary and what that meant. Just taking the words that are in the pleadings and the words in the statute, yes, I think the court can say, I think the word enter, just like courts all the time define or interpret what words mean in statutes, the court can make a logical inference. And it's up for this court to say if that was too broad. Could this trial court not decide that, well, to me, enter means or includes entering a structure or entering a building?
So put another way, you're saying that the word enter provides sufficient evidence without more to establish prima facie that Mr. Martin entered a structure.
Yes, because the court is using the language of the statute and the language of both the California statute, comparing the California statute and the Washington statute, deciding what the word enter means and whether he stipulated that he entered a building or a structure, or that it was comparable to the state of Washington, the Berg II in the state of Washington. I don't know if the court wants me to move on to the speedy trial issue.
It's your time. You are free to do with it as you will. We'll ask questions if we have them.
Okay. Thank you, Art. There's a speedy trial issue. It's a constitutional speedy trial issue. It's not under the court rule. The analysis is under Barker versus Wingo. All of the continuances in this case were for good cause. Most of them were requested by the defense. Not the defendant, but the defense, and because this was potentially a three strikes case, there were convictions from, I think it's four states, including Texas, Colorado, California, and Wyoming. He was in prison in Wyoming. That the defense attorney wanted to be extremely careful with the comparability of the previous convictions and whether whether those could be held against Mr. Martin. It seems like a simple case, but domestic violence cases are never simple. It's a one witness, one victim case, plus medical testimony, remarkably similar to his conviction in California in 1981. So all of the Barker factors go in favor of the state. The length of the continuance was less than 12 months. The reasons were all good reasons. Mr. Martin objected, but most of the continuances were sought by the defense counsel, and Mr. Martin does not show an actual prejudice in this case. I would ask the court to affirm the lower court, and if there is a remand for resentencing, then the state should be able to add, if it can, additional evidence regarding the comparability of his burglary conviction. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Well, the trial court can make reasonable inferences from facts that are proven, that are stipulated to, that are admitted, but the court can't make findings of fact from an allegation. We cannot assume that Mr. Martin pleaded guilty and admitted facts, admitted that he unlawfully entered a building, as that would be defined in Washington State. So
can we assume that he agreed he unlawfully entered an address?
We can assume that he agreed that he entered that address, whatever is located at that address.
All right.
We can't
and
assume
so
he unlawfully.
So then our question is whether or not the inference that enter means you went into a structure or simply onto vacant property is a reasonable and logical one. Is that correct?
That's correct. Whether or not the term enter necessarily means that it was a structure or building as defined under Washington law.
And your argument is that it could be vacant land, it could be a mine, it could be an airplane or an outhouse.
Well, in California, it could have been any of those things. And you could have entered them and be guilty of second-degree burglary. You could also enter them lawfully and remain lawfully, but commit a crime while there and also be guilty of burglary, too. So they included unlawful entry in the information, but that's not a required element of burglary in California. So that is a required element in Washington. So you can't assume that he would have pleaded guilty to that element as well if that's not something that he would have been required to plead to in California. So you can't assume that he pleaded to unlawfully entering what would be considered a building in California. A building in Washington, just from the fact that there is an allegation that he entered a address. The California burglary statute is a lot broader and includes a number of things that are not structures and not buildings as we understand them in Washington. So the trial court should not have used this conviction in his offender score, and he should be resentenced with an offender score of 5. And I guess unless the court has any additional questions, I'll rest on the briefing for the
thank you.
Speedy trial. Thank you.